You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
All the activities begin Thursday, Friday, and then it'll be on CBS all weekend as they play just some giant names here. I had this new press release about all the people on here. There's a fans guide. Where does this come from, Sid?
Oh, that's from the Commercial Appeal.
Okay, good. Well, it's in the paper today. Top contenders, Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson, Daniel Berger, who won it last year. Other guys playing include Ernie Els, David Duvall, Jim Furyk, Relief Goosen, and Davis Love III, Vijay Singh, and many, many more. 72 of the guys in the field as of Sunday have at least one career PGA Tour win. So you got some really, really big names here playing, and should be a good time. There are various levels of tickets and places to be, and the Mick Ultra Tent, and you can go and find out all the information at stjudeclassic.com, and we'll be out there hanging out a little bit our own selves and doing some stuff. Last night, Game 2, Golden State, I, in fact, totally forgot it was on. I just didn't. KNO, PBS, RTV partner, not partner, but the partner of PBS in this market, has been showing some really, really great stuff. Over the weekend, they showed, as we are in the throes of this Beatles revolution,
yes,
about Sgt. Pepper's, this was a great show.
I saw that. I recorded it.
It really blew me away how... this gentleman, I also Friday night, if you do have the Beatle fever that is taken over again 50 years later, and the explanations about all of that are also kind of interesting. 8 days a week is the movie that Ron Howard, the fine director, and yes, he was Opie, but he did this last year, 8 days a week, and it's a it shows the beginnings of this band like nothing ever has, and the concert footage. And I don't know what he did or how he found things that were never seen before. I don't know where he found them, where he got them, and the onstage quality of the band was just remarkable. But it shows you how quickly they ascended to heights that no band has ever come close to. Just the hysteria from Australia to Japan to New York, everywhere in this country. And by 1966, 4 years into it, they were done with it because it was just out of control. They couldn't hear themselves. They couldn't hear anything. And so they just said enough of this and quit. But it is so well done. It's on Netflix and elsewhere. But the PBS special, the gentleman who was in 8 days a week who did some commentary is a musician and a historian who explained the making and the breakdown of many of those songs. And it's mind-boggling.
It is. Some of the things he puts in, like, here's why this little bit of rhythm that's so commonly used, here's how they made it different by adding a little countertone with two fingers on this side of the keyboard.
And yes.
Here's how they used this old style of music and changed it a little bit.
Yeah, it's really is. It's a very nuanced explanations of the individual songs. And this, it never crossed my mind all these years that this album was almost entirely, at least one side, about childhood and about your perspective or John and Paul's just the eyes of a child and various songs like Strawberry Fields, which is where John was raised, and Penny Lane was an area where Paul was raised. Those were the first two songs that were cut during those sessions that didn't make it onto the album. That's a whole different story.
All right.
They were on the next album. But PBS is doing some great work, so support them, and hats off to them for this extremely well-done special. There's a part about Indian music, about sitars, and about how George Harrison did all that stuff. So if you find these things interesting, and people do, obviously, still. And it just will never go away. We pass these things on to our children, and then they will pass them on to theirs. And but there's a reason for it, because of the just the it is beyond it is unique, and that doesn't even scratch the surface. And the more you watch and the more you hear about it, you just go, God, I had no idea. So that is on. They replay things, don't they, or
right.
do they?
So I'm sure I'll check, but I'm sure this special is going to be on a couple more times, because it's Pledge Week. So if you want to know how to support the station in PBS, watch one of these shows, and they'll tell you a couple of times.
Yeah, they also had a Journey concert from 1981, right when they had just gotten big. And they showed that, and that was even kind of cool to see. There's one on the Carpenters. So they are showing all these things during Pledge Week that are informational for fans of music of all kinds, and it helps them stay in business.
Yes,
so.
And it'll be on again tomorrow night at 10 o'clock our time, if I read this right.
It is really, really worth seeing. So as I was saying, I watched that because I taped it. And I didn't watch the basketball game, and now I know why. Because Golden State is so good that they beat the Cavaliers. They were up, 23 at one point, and they end up, they beat them by 19. So this looks like a lopsided adventure. But just as you say that, this time last year, the Warriors were up 2-0 and went back to Cleveland, and things changed. But this year, it just seems to be out of reach for this team. The Warriors are so good. Coach Steve Kerr was back on the bench last night. He's had some serious back issues, and so he was back on the bench and looked great, and was into it with his guys, and they just look unstoppable. So I guess it'll be a boost for the Cavaliers to be at home, but it won't make much difference, as good as Golden State is the opinion of many people. But please make this thing stop, because all radio guys can do is analyze every play from start to finish. It's awful. Stop it. Give the final score and move along. They'll play again Wednesday in Cleveland. So this may or may not go 4 or 5 games, but the Warriors have now won, what is it, 14 games in a row in the playoffs, which is a new NBA record. So they're just on fire. So they win last night, game 3. Cleveland tonight, game 4, the Predators and the Penguins in the NHL race for the Cup. That's tonight. Jimmy Johnson won yesterday and in Dover. Way to go, bro. He did good. Let's see. What else? Jimmy Pearsall passed away. He was a player and a broadcaster for a long time, 87 years old. So he has gone on to whatever level is next from here. And there was some baseball over the weekend. The Cubs swept the Cardinals. Not good for Cardinal fans, but the Cubs looked pretty good. They needed to get some wins, and they did. And they came back and won again yesterday. So I don't know where I put the other scores, but it doesn't really matter, I guess. I can't find them, so I'll just drop it.
Half the teams won.
Yeah, some teams won and some teams lost. And you can find it probably on your phone. It's probably is on there and in 1,000 other spots as well. And before the email, a quick aside here that we just got this piece of paper. I just hate this stuff. Jimmy Davis was here a couple of months back with us, and we discussed off the air in the past 2 or 3 years how many of our friends and colleagues in the music business in this town have died. Players, Harry Peel and Steve Reed and, Jack Holder. The list goes on. A bunch of guys from Ardent. Just some of the mainstays of music in this town for the past 50 years have died. And it just seems to be this never-ending, sad saga of those, passing on probably before their time. And this one this morning is just a complete bummer. Don McMinn, who many of you saw play. I was in this town for a week in 88, and we worked on Beale Street. And the Rum Boogie was over there right across from the station. And I didn't know anybody at that time. And so I went over there, and one of the first guys I met that week was Don McMinn, because he and his band were the house band at the Rum Boogie for a long, long time. And so he kept playing and playing for years with his kids and a grandson. He was a really, really sweet man and a fine guitar player. He passed away last night at 76 years old. So one more. This just is going to keep happening. You can't take these folks for granted because they're here one day and gone the next. So our thoughts to the McMinn family, the loss of Don McMinn, that's a drag. Very nice man. The email address here, mail@drakeinthemorning.com. People say words.
They do. Douglas wrote in saying he wanted to point out that Albert Pujols hit his 600th home run on Saturday.
You know what? I'm sorry. I had that story here and didn't get to it, but thank you. He's one of nine guys. Yeah.
So good for him. Ron says there's some positives, I guess, about not being in the Paris Accord and that the cities in the U.S. are stating that they're going to abide by it anyway. And yep. Individuals, as in the form of Bloomberg, are donating personal money toward the cause. It's saving the U.S. from deeper debt. Well, it's about $15 million, but anyway. Yeah. And showing individuals will step up for a cause they see as just. Considering when discussing cuts to the budget a few months ago, where citizens were concerned about the reduction in federal funds that aided Meals on Wheels, public jumped up with donations to take up the slack. Not saying federal funds need to be removed from everything. However, the public and donations can take care of a lot of funding that does not need to come from the taxpayer.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why this stuff is all so complicated and why you aren't the president. It's a tough gig. Some decisions being made are questionable, but there may be more to this than meets the eye. I don't know. But it does also speak volumes that when we pull out of this, Paris Accord, that governors and mayors and Mike Bloomberg all step up and say, well, we are here to continue the work. So being in this thing doesn't mean much anyway. We will be doing the work, and here's the money, and don't worry about it, which likely makes Mr. Trump a little unhappy, but they can't stop them from doing it. And it's up to individuals and groups and people and cities to carry on. If you have a passion and a belief in that this world and the environment is changing, that's an inarguable point. How we handle it with money and politics is something else. But we've seen now the past week how we're handling it, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
When Mike Bloomberg, who he would be the last guy, I would think, but he said, look, I'll pay for it, whatever, just carry on. So one less thing for I guess, the U.S. to worry about, but it's citizens and its politicians are all for it, and will keep on, working in an effort to help and do what they can.
So good. This one comes from Todd, who says, I was in a bookstore yesterday and overheard this conversation between a man and his young son. A boy said to the man, Dad, I really want to read this book. The father replied with, you already saw the movie. You don't have to read it. That hurt for me to hear. I can give some credit to the man for taking his son to a bookstore, but the kudos in there. Anyone that's ever read a book then saw the movie will know that the book is almost always filled with more detail and background than a movie would ever have time to develop. So come on, Dad. Let the kid read anything he wants to read. It's better than sitting like a vegetable in a movie theater or in front of a TV or computer screen.
Well, there are some folks that just don't have that lifelong love of books and learning. And it's easier to go to the movie or to a video game or something than it is to, get. But there aren't 10 films out there that were as good as the book or even close.
Right.
Most times it just doesn't work that way. Over the weekend, I got sucked into Friday night, and I've not always been a great big fan of Stephen King, although he's done some really, really great work. The Green Mile was on. And if you've never sat and just watched that all the way through, it's unbelievably powerful. It is just a beautiful, beautiful movie with some ugly stuff in it. But a great, great story. And Tom Hanks and David Morse and Michael Clark Duncan, who passed away, he's just, it's a great, great movie. That came from a short story or a novel?
I think it was just a short story.
But boy, it's good. So, and, you know, just let your kids have the books. Buy your kids some books. I mean, come on,
it's
man.
It's like an iceberg.
You just got to do it.
And see, this one from Mark, who says, talking about the, I heard on the Best of replay on Saturday that last bit about the salt shakers at the restaurants and the bars.
Yeah.
I always hate it when the five-star fine dining style establishments use glass salt and pepper shakers with every table, then complain if someone breaks or uses them inappropriately. So what's fun to do when you're at a sit-down place is wait till you're on dessert and filling out the check, to leave a nice gratuity and distract your wait staff from noticing that you're loosening the caps. That's not really all
that's stupid.
But thanks anyway.
That deserves an ass kicking. That's stupid. A-hole. Beat it.
And Nathan says, digging the Vol beats. It's, thanks for playing another great band I would have otherwise likely missed. It only took me a month to catch Wes and Sid playing Vol beats Black Rose on their weekend segments when I was tuned in on my mower. Prior to that, I misheard the band's name and was unable to decipher enough of the lyrics to look them up. It's like a post-pop rockabilly Eddie Vedder in that regard, but really like it, so good to hear. Thanks for that.
Yes, sir. You bet.
And Jesse says, have you heard a band called State of Mind?
No.
And a song is called Rise. Any way you can convince Drake to play it? Thank you. Well, there you go.
Check it, do it or not. I'll try to find it sometime. There's too much going on here.
John gave us a link to the Norah Jones cover of Black Hole Sun, which he just says, wow.
Oh, really? Oh, so. God. I mean, she is so good.
And let's see, the Alive Rescue People are having an event on Thursday at the Stock and Bell down on South Main Street. It's to support Alive Memphis, a rescue place for dogs and other animals, I think. So,
and that's when again?
That's coming up on Thursday, June 8th, 6 to 9 at Stock and Bell on South Main.
Okay, very good.
So bear that in mind. And a couple people, Melanie and Leonard, have written in with some others to say, you're right regarding Kelly and Ryan, just vapid, just awful.
Oh, God.
And other comments as that.
You know, this morning I saw the promo. Today they're broadcasting live from Niagara Falls and will be interviewing the President of Canada, or the Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau. That will be, I'm sure, high, high entertainment, very informative. Very informative as they try not to embarrass themselves with a president or prime minister of Canada.
It's only going to be entertaining if one or both of them try to go over the falls in a barrel.
At the same time, and are never found again. that would be my hope.
If y'all want to share anything with us or whatever else, go ahead and do that. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is the email address. We got it up and running pretty much all the time and usually look at it.
There you go. Thank you much for writing. Write anytime. We will come back. The Facebook page is there to play with if you like. And Sid puts up things that are funny and fun. And on the drakeinthemorning.com site, Wesley has the book picks and music picks, bumper songs that I play here, and various features, slideshows and videos and things like that. So
email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.